And when you understand this truth that we talked today, when you get this in 30, 35 minutes, you understand this. If you are a single man in this place, you cannot miss this. If you're a married man in this place, you cannot miss this. There will be truths today that will rearrange your home. And if you're a young lady who is waiting upon God to bring in that amazing godly man, you dare not miss this. We are in this series called Do Life Together. And we believe that the absolute most important decision of all mankind is to come to know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. The second most important decision that affects your every hour is who you choose to marry. That important. It's that real. And this is Do Life Together, tough and tender. You can turn to Ephesians 5 and Joshua 24. I'm not sure if we'll even get to Joshua 24, but we're going to kick in Ephesians 5. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you again, God, that these are your grounds and these are your people. God, it is an honor to present your word. What a privilege. God, I thank you for this morning. And God, I ask that we come before you knowing that, Father, through your word and by your spirit, God, you can speak to us in such a way this morning that we will not be the same, God. God, I pray over everyone in this place that we get this. God, that we allow your spirit to move in our hearts, that you would just really drill this home today. Become, Father, with an ear to hear from you, with an eye to see exactly what you have for every individual in this place. And God, we come with our hearts wide open to be able to respond to you. Folks, I ask that you would ask God, God, speak to me today. God, I'm here and I'm here on purpose. God, I ask that you would speak to me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, I want to put up a couple of verses, please. Put up Proverbs 19:22. Let me share something with you. Ladies who are single, right here is a verse that if you want a godly man, it defines your man. Don't miss this. This is a powerful, powerful verse. What is desirable within a man is his kindness. Get this. What is desirable in a man is his kindness. This word kindness, it means his loyalty, his faithfulness, his acts of goodness. This is an action word, man. This is a power-packed word. What is desirable within a man is his kindness, is his loyalty, is his faithfulness, is his acts of kindness. That's the kind of man we're looking for. That's the kind of man we're asking God for. God, open my eyes to see a man who lives and breathes in being kind. Pay attention to how he talks to people. If you're interested in a man, before he ever knows that you're even interested in him, pay close attention to how he treats people. Because if he's treating people with kindness without you watching, and he is treating people with kindness when you're watching, that's fantastic. If he is treating people angrily without kindness, not looking to do good, and then you show up and all of a sudden his character changes, that is temporary. And that is dangerous. What is desirable in a man is his loyalty, is his faithfulness, is him looking to do good. That's amazing. And then look at this. And it is better to be poor than to be a liar. You know what that speaks to? His integrity. It is better for him to care about his integrity than his checkbook. If he cares more about his checkbook than his integrity, bad deal. Listen, these are so amazing, intense character qualities that we need to be looking for if you're a single lady and you're looking for the man and asking God and praying for God to bring in that, God, you are, I'm going to be patient, and there will be a day that my man will look like this. There will be a day that it is my desire for him because I see him always looking to do good, always looking to be kind, and I see that his integrity is so much more important than his checkbook. That's powerful. Now we see Proverbs 20, verse 6 says this. Because 2 weeks ago, we talked about that excellent wife. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the contentious wife versus the excellent wife. The Bible says, an excellent wife who can find, meaning she's rare. The Bible talks about this contentious woman, this one who's always argumentative, always wanting to have the control, always has a say, always like sandpaper, always wanting to argue, always bringing strife to the relationship. That's the contentious woman. And God said, it's amazing that God said, man, it is better for the dude to be in a desert with no food or water than to be with you. That's God said that. That's how bad that is. But then there's that excellent wife. Then there's that excellent wife who can find for her worth. Her value is so far above jewels. Man, she is rare and she is special. And a man will take care of that which he values. That's 2 weeks ago we talked about that. And Proverbs 20 verse 6 says this, many a man will boast about their own loyalty. Same word in Proverbs 19:22 is kindness, is loyalty, is faithfulness. Many a man will boast. Many will proclaim that they're faithful and loyal. But then he breaks down the reality. But who can find a trustworthy man? An excellent wife, who can find a trustworthy man? Who can find? I believe that they're rare. I believe it can be from a heart change from God. That a man becomes trustworthy and loyal. A man becomes faithful. A man looks to do good. Ephesians 5 says this. And this morning's message is called Tough and Tender. We're going to see men as the head of our home and as the ones that God put as the one who's our truly out front. In that, that's serious. And man, this is one of them serious deals. When you understand this and your eyes are open to this truth as a man, as a husband, as a single man looking one day to know, I will be that man. I will be the man that is kind. I will be the man who always looks to do good. I will be that man that is loyal and faithful. I will be that man who walks and places my integrity above my checkbook. That will be me. And then you look at this, Ephesians 5:22, wives, be subject to your own husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ also is to the church. This is simple. People freak out when they see subject or be submissive. Man, the church has sometimes got it right, sometimes got it wrong. This is just terrible when they screwed up so badly. The Bible says, wives, be subject or be submissive to your husbands. This word, it means to willingly, to have that desire to put yourself under your man. As a husband, it says to your own husbands. It ain't talking about workplace. It ain't talking about the grocery store. This is talking about your husband. That you come to that place to willingly look forward to letting your man lead. Ladies, please, if your man scripts the bill in this and you say, man, you are defining my man, let him lead. God provided that in his heart and put the desire to lead you in his heart. We look at this, and I don't know a godly woman that when she understands the godly man who wouldn't willingly put herself under one who will protect and die for her. Who wouldn't do that? And we look at this, men, look at this. Come on, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Man, we look at that, and we just say, love your wives. Man, that could be defined in so many different ways. And we saw so many just stop there, or they read on and they skip over some absolute intense truth that is life-changing for a man. Husbands, love your wives. Of course I love my wife. I wouldn't have married her. I wouldn't have stood at that altar and said I do if I didn't love her. Of course I love my wife. And they stop there. But this is intense. When you see this, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loves the church. That's a tall order. That's a serious deal when you recognize that now I'm seeing that I am to love Renee just as Christ loved the church. Just as Christ loved. How is it that Christ loved the church? That's a serious question that will change your home. That is a serious question that will change you as a young man and your direction and how you are going to pursue a wife one day. How are you going to go after that girl one day when you know that, man, she is all over God and she's breathing Jesus. And man, one day I want her to be. How you pursue her according to this is everything different when you get this. I am to love my wife just as Christ loved the church. His love for you and I is an unchanging love. It's a love that can never change. It's a love that can never be denied. It's a love that is an unconditional love. And when you understand those three qualities of Jesus' love for the church, it is when you get this, man, when you understand unconditional love, your home will change. There is no condition on how I love my wife. That's the way it's written. That's the way it's supposed to be. Man, when you understand this, as Christ understood what it was to unconditionally, there's nothing that we can do to separate his love for us. What would take place in the home today if there's nothing that your wife could do, or any circumstance, or any situation, or any season of life that you go through that could ever, ever cause your love to be less than it is. Because that's how Jesus loved the church. The Bible says that God demonstrated His love for us. That's a demonstrated love that can't be denied, that yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And when we understand a demonstrated love can't be denied, and you understand that, man, I want this. When I go to the altar, yes, I want my love for her to be undeniable. Man, 5 years in, 10 years in, 15 years, 20 years in, wouldn't it be amazing 20 years into the marriage that people from the outside, based on what you've done privately, based on what you've done publicly, that people on the outside would look at you and say, it is undeniable how much he loves his wife. That'd be amazing. That'd be amazing. Based on what you've done privately and based on what you've done publicly, that the people who know you, the people who see you, can look at you and say, it's undeniable. That man loves his wife. That man understands what it is to be loyal and to be faithful and to be trusted. Nobody can look at them two, live their lives, and how they do life together, and think that he doesn't love her. That's how Christ loved the church. That's how Christ loved the church. Demonstrated undeniable love. And it's a love that cannot fail. When you understand this love that is an unfailing love, your love for your wife should be a love that has no end, and that cannot fail. Cannot fail doing it God's way. And we look at this, gang, when we understand, husbands, when you get this, when you understand and you really get it, that you are on the battlefield in your marriage. And we touched on this in the first message of this, in honoring marriage. Recognizing that marriage is a picture of Christ in the church, still in Ephesians 5. And you look at this, the enemy hates Christ. The enemy hates the church. The enemy hates mankind because we're created in the image of God. And he hates marriage because it is a picture of that which is Christ in the church. And he hates you, and he hates your marriage, and he hates your children, and he hates your wife, and he hates that union. He is going to do everything he can to destroy that. And if we have put our head in the sand for the last several years, then you've missed a lot that's going on in the world and in the church in regards to marriage just being destroyed. Because we look and we haven't realized that we're in a serious war. We're in a serious battle for marriage. And you, as the head of the home, and the word head, it means that you are the spiritual accountable leader of your home. That's what that means. It doesn't mean I'm the boss, Ellis. This is a one-vote house. That is not what that means. It means that then this scares me, man. This brings me to a place of reverence before God. This brings me to a place of being humbled before God, that there will be a day based on that word that I will be the accountable spiritual leader of my home. Well, there will be a day then that I will have to give an account to how I led spiritually. That is huge. I see this. And I recognize that my marriage is a battlefield. Sometimes your marriage, unfortunately, in the home, you think it's a battlefield. But I'm talking about in a spiritual sense, man, you are at war. And the faster you realize that we are not at war with each other, but we have a very real enemy who's trying to get in here and destroy what God has brought together, the faster you turn and unify together so that you will fight the enemy together as one. Because you realize the very battlefield that we are on, we're at war for this relationship. Man, do you get that? Do you get that? Do you understand that you wake up in the morning and you cover your family? And you begin to ask God, you show me what I need to see today. God, that I would be alert and I would be aware of these grounds that I stand. I would be very aware of the condition of my home. I'd be very aware of the condition of my marriage. This is war, and this is a battle, and it's a spiritual battle. And God, you have given me the victory in this. And God, you've given me the charge in this as the head of this home to protect this home. But you see it as a battle. Because look at this. The Bible says this. This is how he loved the church. Verse 26, so that he, verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself up for her. That is an absolute, complete, and total sacrifice. That is Renee, her desires, her needs come before me. That is I take the bullet before Renee takes the bullet. This is me standing in the way of anything that would come against my home. As Jesus did for me on the cross. Jesus sacrificed for me on the cross. Jesus took the wrath of God. Jesus took the hit for me so that I didn't have to. Man, when you understand this, the sacrifice that Christ made for the church is the sacrifice that I need to make for Renee in a sense of her before me, her needs, her desires before me, me second. And in that, I will take the hits. In that, I'll do everything I can to keep up my shield. That if there's anything that comes against this house, it hits me first. That's powerful. That's you being the warrior in your home, and that's you manning up in your home to say, listen, I will lead this charge spiritually, and the hits will come, and the enemy will try, but I am going to be very aware of where it's coming from, and I'm going to take the hit for this family. Just as Jesus did for the church. That's amazing. So that he might sanctify her and cleanse her. Jesus sanctified the church. He set the church apart and purified the church. There wouldn't be stain. That we'll stand before God one day, stainless and innocent and pure and righteous because of what Jesus did for the church. Now, how do I apply this to my wife? Sean, you are to sanctify your wife. I don't have the power of the cross in that type of sanctifying. This is a way that, man, I see my home as a place that is pure. I see my home as a place of holy ground. And I will not allow, here comes the protector again. Here comes the shield up, ready, looking, being aware of the war that's taking place right all around us, that I will not allow impurities in my home. I will not allow anything to come into my home that's going to stain my wife. That's what that means. I will be so aware, and I will be so watchful, and I will be the protector, and I will be the guard of my home, that there will not be anything that knocks on my door, whether it comes through the TV, whether it comes through the computer, whether it comes crashing down the front door, whether it comes home with my kids, nothing is going to stain my wife because she is set apart, man. She is pure. And I need to protect that. You need to guard your wife. You need to protect your wife. And you dare not crack that door open for impurities in your home. When you understand the battlefield and you understand the war, and you understand my shield will not come down. Because as soon as you let your shield down, the enemy is going to run you over. Come on, man. We got to come to a place to keep our shield up and be aware of the war that we're in and the battle that we're fighting for our homes. And to recognize just, and I, man, I see the picture of Christ on the cross for me and the war that was won on that cross. And my king took the hit for me. Greatest king of all, the king of all kings. Went to the cross in my place and took the hit. And in that, he says, Sean, you are to get that picture and apply it to your home and apply it to your marriage. Not allowing any impurities to stain your home. Now, when you understand that, we will be very aware of what comes out of our mouth. We will be very aware of the words that we speak. Because Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered towards them. That's amazing. Husbands, love your wives. Ephesians 5 tells us how to love our wife. And then it says, do not be embittered. And that word embittered, it means to be harsh. You see, we walk in a place of being tough. We walk in a place of being the guard. We walk in a place of knowing our spiritual God-given authority in the home to protect, guard, and never allow our guard down. Why? What happens? When you're aware of something, you're ready for it. What happens? The opposite of to be aware means that you're unaware. That's when the guard comes down. That's when the shield is lowered. And in that, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Yes, be tough. Be the protector. Be the guard of your home. And in the same sense, don't be harsh. In the same sense, don't sour them. I think so many times we walk in the tough card. We don't walk in the tender side that God calls us to as men. We understand that there are times that our wives are fragile. And when I tell people, when I tell guys and girls when they are dating, I said, if you have a picture on your phone, which you probably do, you find a picture of your girl, and under that caption, if you can write a banner or write a caption, all you got to do is write fragile, handle with care. And let that be a reminder all the way up to the day that you say I do, that she is different from you. That you are not the same. That you understand the very gift that God has given you, and you are so tender, and you recognize that you are called to handle her with care. And you are not to be harsh with her. You're not to let words fly out of your mouth that are damaging and just begin to deroot and begin to hurt instead of heal. We walk into place as men, as that guard, and man, as that protector, and as that tough. In the same sense, God says, you better be tender. When you speak, it better be speak words of love, and you better always be looking to give. You gotta be very careful on being harsh. That's a serious word to men. Don't be harsh with your words. Fragile. Handle with care. Because then we go back to Ephesians 5, verse 28. Husbands ought to also love their wives as their own bodies. And he who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his flesh. Now get this. But nourishes it and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. Again, here's another picture of how Christ is with the church. He look what he does. He nourishes it and he cherishes it. This word nourish, it means that he brings to maturity. Isn't it incredible that in Christ, he brought the church to maturity? And in our homes, the husband is called to bring the wife to a place of maturity. Man, that is such, man, that screams that the husband is to lead spiritually. He is to be the leader spiritually in his home. He's to lead the devotions. He's to be the one to say, wife, come on, man, this is the direction. This is God. I am bringing you to church. Man, it is my desire to be in the house of God. It's my desire to fellowship with godly men. It's my desire to lead you and understand the word of God so much so that I am bringing you to a place of maturity as a spiritual leader of my home. Gang, that is huge. When a man gets this word nourish, he understands that it is his deal, his responsibility to lead his wife, to lead his children, if God gives children, in a way of maturity in Christ. That means you've got to be mature yourself. That's what that means. You've got to be the one who wants a fellowship. You're the one who wants to get in the Word. You're the one who's got to get in your face. You're the one. Isn't it amazing that you could be the one to come to a place in your home as the head, say, we are not going to walk in fear over this issue. We're not going to walk in anxiety over this situation. We're not going to walk. We're not going to be stressed. God is God. God is in control. Let our faith speak to this issue. Wouldn't it be amazing if a man took his wife where maybe the wife is filled with anxiety, maybe the wife is filled with fear, maybe the wife is filled with stress, and the man takes her and says, listen, we are not going to walk in fear. God is the God of all. God is in control. God sees her every moment. God knew exactly what was going to take place in this exact situation, in this exact storm of life. And we will walk in faith in this house, and we will not walk by fear. We will not walk with anxiety, and we will not walk in stress, because a perfect love casts out fear. And when we get this as men, what wife wouldn't want to willingly put himself under that? You got to know what God says. You got to know what God says. You got to be in the Word. You got to know this book. You got to know your role as a man who leads his home in such a way that we will not walk in fear. Anxiety is not touching this house. Stress isn't coming. We will have a home that's full of love, joy, and peace. We will walk in such a sense, my home, that we put God first. We come before Him day after day to surrender in our lives as men. And it says this, to nourish and to cherish. And this word cherish is amazing. It simply means to tenderly care for. To tenderly care for. You see a side of being tough and being the guard and being the shield and being the protector. You see a side. Your wife at times is fragile and their emotions are different and they are created in a complete different sense. With emotions, being fragile. And you come in with a sense of bringing her up to maturity, covering that home. We're not going to walk in fear. And you constantly pointing your wife towards God, constantly pointing your wife towards the absolute sure power of God, that He is in control, watching faith together begin to be built. And you come into this place to be so tender, so soft towards your wife, that you become a man who understands your wife and her needs and her desires because you've been paying attention. Because you have been made aware and you refuse to be unaware of the condition of my home. Come on, let's bow our heads, please. And there's more to say, but I want to give a challenge. I want you to get it. Because we see in Joshua 24, we see this picture where Joshua is truly speaking to Israel. He's speaking to the children of Israel, where so many have gone their own direction, and so many have chased after other gods, and so many blame their heritage, they blame their past. And he says, listen, forget the gods of your fathers. Don't blame your fathers. Don't blame your past generations. Don't blame your heritage. And he presents this to them in such a way. I see boldness. I see strength. I see courage. I see Joshua with a sense, even if no one else chooses this, let the neighbors go this way, let the family unfortunately go this way, let the people in the workplace go this way, let the worldview go that way. But as for me and my house, he says, he tells them, you got a choice to make. You're either going to choose to fear God, you're going to choose to serve God, or you're going to choose to go the other direction. And he says, choose for yourself whom you will serve. And he says something so bold. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He says, it is my desire that you fear God, and it is my desire that you serve Him. That's what he says. But if you don't, that's on you. Man, you got to look at the worldview today. You got to look at the political view. You got to look at your neighbors. You got to look at your workplace, and you got to look at your family. And you've got to be so bold. I said, man, I wish that you would choose God, and I wish that you'd walk in a fear of God, and I wish that you would serve Him. But regardless of what you do, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will walk in a reverence of God. We will put God first. We will walk in an understanding of how great God is. We will have a place of worship. We will have a place where the presence of God dwells. We will have a place that understands a reverence for Almighty, powerful God. And we'll walk in a place that has a heart to serve after Him and to put Him first and come to a place to surrender to Him. That will be my house. That will be my home. Okay, don't you dare look around and look and think what the world is doing or think what everyone else is doing or think what the majority is doing. You look to what God says and say, I come to a place, it is my desire that you turn to this, but if you don't, that's on you. Me and my home, my house, my wife, my kids, we're going to serve God. We're going to walk in the reverence of God, and we're going to come to a place to say God is first and supreme in my home. That's how we function. That's how we serve. Can you do that this morning? Husbands, can you do that? Can you ditch the worldview? Can you ditch, at times, family view, if it's contrary to God's view? Can you please not be so concerned about what the world thinks of you? Don't do that. You be concerned about being the head of your home. And you be the guard and you be the protector of your wife. And you dare not let your shield down. You dare not let your shield down. You walk into a place to know her emotions and know her and understand her in a way. Fragile, handle with care. Don't be harsh with your wives. Don't walk in anger. Walk in a place of love. To tenderly care for your wife. Do you make that decision today, man? Can you come to a place this morning and say, man, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I am the guard, man. I see the battlefield. I see the war that we're in. The enemy will not take victory in my home. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. No weapon formed against me in my house will prosper. There will not be a weapon that tries to come in my home that I am not aware of, that it will fall short. And I will lead my wife by faith. And in that shield of faith, the Bible says, that the fiery darts of the enemy fall short. That's amazing. He will constantly fire darts, but if you're constant in your faith, they fall short. God, help us in this, please. God, this is so real. God, that we would make decisions this morning as heads of our home. We would make decisions this morning as single men. This is who I will be. This is who I will be. And we'll make decisions as wives today to let the man lead. And we'll make decisions as young ladies who are single. That's the man that I will have one day. And I will not compromise. I will not compromise. That will be my man. In Jesus' name.